Welcome to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. I'm Umbreen Khan. Now, we are in the midst of the holiday season. In fact, this week marks the beginning of Hanukkah. And for many of us, that means shopping for presents. According to a recent Gallup poll, this year, the average American will spend about $800 on gifts. And that's down from $940 in 2019. Making choices this season can be challenging, especially during a pandemic. How can you make sure the gifts you buy are ethically produced and distributed? How much of the money spent on them will actually make it into the artisans' pockets? Those questions are paramount to the founders of One Journey, a nonprofit organization based in Virginia. Creating an opportunity for connection is one of their main activities. Each year, they host the One Journey Festival that includes a physical marketplace featuring vendors who come to the United States as refugees, artisans and creators from Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, and beyond showcase and sell their handiwork, everything from clothing and jewelry to foods and original art. And as it has done with almost everything else on the planet, COVID-19 and this pandemic has thrown the organizing model for One Journey out the window. Undaunted, organizers have gone virtual to create the One Journey Holiday Marketplace online. And the operation is managed, well, entirely by volunteers of all ages.
I am 43.
I just turned 24.
The beauty of One Journey is we have people, volunteers from all spectrum of life. We have as young as high school students, college students, and all the way up to people who are in the 80s. It's truly a grassroots effort that is, you know, entirely powered by people who believe in the work.
My name is Wendy Chan. I'm the co-founder of One Journey.
My name is Yogi. I am the marketing lead for One Journey based out of Philadelphia.
I spoke with Chan and Yogi Metapalli, but before we talked about the marketplace, Chan explains their grassroots organization has a goal: change negative perceptions about refugees by creating meaningful opportunities to connect. In 1989, Wendy Chan immigrated to the United States as a young girl. She came here to unite with her extended family, many of whom had fled China as refugees to escape civil war. She co-founded the nonprofit One Journey with Vonda Berniger, also an immigrant with a refugee story. In 1991, as the civil war broke out in Croatia, Berniger and her family fled to Germany.
My co-founder, Vonda Berniger, and I founded One Journey because we were deeply troubled by the anti-refugee, anti-immigrant rhetoric. At the same time, the world was seeing an increase in refugee population. So we asked ourselves, what can we do? And we saw this opportunity to really kind of change, shift that narrative from, you know, refugee being cost to our society, being threats to our society, to something that is closer to truth, which is that refugees contribute to our economy. They are talents that we should welcome, and also connecting the community to take actions by introducing them to community organizations that are helping refugees domestically and internationally.
What does One Journey do to accomplish this mission?
What we do is we organize events to educate our audience about the refugee crisis, about the situation that refugees are facing overseas. We also create communities where people can come and see with their own eyes the performance of refugees, artists, and musicians, you know, purchasing art and crafts made by refugee vendors so that they can see with their own eyes the contributions of refugees and have that human connections through our in-person events. We started about 2 years ago, this annual festival to celebrate refugee contribution, their talents, by showcasing, bringing people together through food, fashion, music, dance, what we call the common language of humanity, so that we can all come together in a single place to celebrate together, but also to highlight and learn about different ways that people can contribute and connect and support refugees in their community.
That sounds like fun stuff you're describing there. Food, fashion, art. With COVID, how have you all adapted? What have been the changes that you've decided to kind of make? And how has that impacted what 2020s look like for you?
Given that everything was shut down and we couldn't have any of these in-person events for One Journey, we really needed to pivot to an online virtual model really quickly. In early summer, we created an initiative called Journeys Home. And the idea behind that was, because of COVID-19, there are a lot of artists and performers mainly who cannot perform and therefore cannot earn money. So we wanted to give a platform of artists who normally perform at the in-person One Journey Festival, as well as others, to perform what their art and craft is and have the ability to raise money to support their livelihood. So we did this through the creation of virtual concerts, basically, and that was through Facebook Live, as well as other platforms. And we featured musicians and dancers, and I believe there was even a cooking event. We shared links for donation pages that went directly to them. So they were able to share like their PayPal accounts or their Venmos. So it's very, very direct. So the people from our network who now had access to the performances, the information, as well as the ability to come together as a community, even virtually, to support the refugees and immigrant artists that we weren't able to in person.
Yogi, how did you get involved with One Journey?
I was always passionate about the refugee cause. I was fortunate enough to study abroad in Europe in 2016 at the height of the refugee crisis. I remember wanting to get involved there and just not having the opportunity to. Like, I remember calling like Cardiff Refugee Council like hundreds of times and not really getting anything. And I actually came across an article written about our founder, Wendy, and I read about the message. I reached out. I just missed the 2018 festival. It got started just a little bit after it, but I've been a part of the organization ever since.
Faith really plays a key role in my decision of getting involved in supporting refugees. I started the refugee ministry at my church, and that was the kind of the impetus for me to expand the work to involve more organizations, you know, faith communities to come together and do something at a large scale, such as One Journey Festival. So it's very much rooted in the start of my work. We also get a lot of support from interfaith organizations around the DC area and getting support from the Episcopal Church, including my church, St. George's Episcopal Church of Arlington and the National Cathedral.
What I appreciate about One Journey and, you know, interfaith communities that participate with us is that a lot of the refugees and immigrants we work with have their own religious faiths. But the work that we do is never evangelical. Like, we respect people. We want to help them, you know, be better neighbors and be help them integrate into our communities, but not necessarily with an agenda. And the other part about interfaith organizations that are involved with One Journey is that, you know, oftentimes it's really, really difficult to mobilize people.
I wanted to just have you talk a little bit about the backstory about the holiday marketplace.
So the One Journey Holiday Marketplace is really our COVID version of the in-person holiday market. When we started One Journey 2 years ago, we decided to do holiday markets around the season of Christmas so that we can provide a new platform for the refugee artisans and organizations that are selling products to support the refugee programs, to provide them with a new opportunity to give visibility to their work and their products. When COVID hit, we know that we cannot continue to do that, but we still wanted to provide a virtual opportunity for us to connect, give visibility to the artists that we're working currently in our network. However, because of it's a virtual platform, we saw there's more opportunities for us to connect with organizations that are either operating internationally or here in the U.S. And so this year's One Journey Virtual Market is launched by our volunteers. We feature close to 20 organizations and individuals who are refugees or immigrant backgrounds.
Can you give me an example of some of the vendors?
So Daferral, they use food for social good and essentially creating these really delicious sugar-free sweets in order to support the employment of some of the most vulnerable women in their community. They support refugee women and formerly trafficking victims in order to provide a path for them to self-reliance. Yes, so Artisans Beyond Borders, it's a nonprofit that actually has its roots in the interfaith community, and they work with asylum seekers who are stuck at the U.S.-Mexican border and really kind of sell the crafts that are designed and created by these incredible artists, but at the same time able to provide support to those individuals who critically need the funding to support their livelihood on the border. Another organization that I wanted to highlight is Karem Foundation. It is a nonprofit that works with Syrian refugees, particularly Syrian refugee youth and students. And we've been partnering with them since the very first year of One Journey Festival back in 2018. They do some incredibly amazing work operating in Turkey and Jordan.
A large part of how we find the vendors or, you know, how we maintain the relationships are very personal.
If someone's listening and they're connected to an organization or a similar enterprise that's trying to create an economic opportunity by supporting ethical consumption of goods or products and ensuring that the makers or creators are getting those resources directly in their hands, how could they get featured? Because they're struggling with marketing. And one of the things that you really have a grasp on is marketing. How can folks connect or share their story with the One Journey folks?
So if you go to onejourneyfestival.com, there's a page where you can contact us. And, you know, more directly, I think the easiest way for somebody to reach out to us directly, share their story and see if there's a potential to be featured is just to message us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/onejourneyfestival. I'm the person who manages the pages, so I will most definitely see those messages and respond as soon as we can.
What are you hoping for 2021?
Going into 2021, I think we're going to have probably double the impact because I think we're going to continue with the virtual events, continue expanding our audience online, as well as, you know, be present in more cities and in DC itself, and to have that in-person connection and connect refugees and immigrants to the people in their communities to better, you know, make it feel like home for them. And home doesn't only mean physical spaces. It could be online spaces where they feel supported and where they can be supported financially in other ways as well.
I would add that if we think back about the mission of One Journey is really to shift that narrative, really connecting people to opportunity to support refugees. The more we can create those opportunities to help the community understand who refugees really are, you know, to kind of get to know them at the personal level and to really understand their contributions, the more successful I see One Journey can be. And it's really connecting people to the organizations they're helping refugees, to the various ways that they can support refugees, whether it's through the holiday markets, whether it's through sort of, you know, direct giving or supporting refugee artists and musicians through purchasing their musical products or attending their concerts, and just understanding the different ways that they can support refugees and immigrants across the country, but also internationally, given that we know the refugee crisis is growing at a rapid scale, you know, with all the political instability around the world. And the more people know about how to get involved, the better it is to support the refugee community and initiative. So we see that our impact will be measured and defined by the knowledge of people about the crisis and about ways to get involved in the community.
And that's full circle, because one of the struggles that I had was I didn't have a way to get involved. You know, I called the refugee councils. I looked for organizations in New York when I came back from studying abroad. I couldn't find a person. I couldn't find an organization that I could directly get involved in. But you know, and I came across One Journey. So as a volunteer, it gave me an opportunity to give back. But the organization itself provides many opportunities for people of the community to engage in a meaningful way when they might not know where to get started. And making that easy and tangible and for them and being in front of them, I think is what we do best. So this might take it in a little bit of a different direction, but I think what came to light during the summer of 2020 is that people have a really tangible way to effect change by deciding where to spend their money. And I'm saying this in the context of, you know, the horrific, you know, race-fueled incidents that have happened over the summer, as well as the unfair practices that are practiced by giant corporations that we all know who they are. And, you know, by choosing carefully and by being conscientious of where you spend your money has a huge impact on, you know, communities that are normally underserved, as well as forcing the bigger companies to adopt practices that are more in line with the values of their customers than not. So when we make the choices with our money and being conscientious and not just going with whatever is the easiest way, we have the ability to impact that change on both corporations while also impacting communities that often don't, you know, often overlooked.
And I just also wanted to add, as person of faith, we see that our resource, our wealth, our money is really a gift from God. And so I think there's that additional meaning of what is a good way for us to be a good steward of God's, you know, blessings of these financial resources on us. And as we think about that, I think, you know, making conscious decisions about purchases that takes into account the cleanness of the supply chain, the impact of the purchase on the community, on the individual's life, whether it's the worker's life or the impact of the employees, I think that's particularly important.
I appreciate you sharing, both of you, your perspectives on that. This is not a religious show per se, but one that explores how faith and beliefs shape the way that the world works. So it is always meaningful to see how collaborations and stories invite all kinds of allies to stand up for and think about the most marginalized and vulnerable people in our communities in a way that doesn't see them as having deficits, which is one of the things I love about this, is that you really are telling a story about the positive contributions, the wealth of ideas and the art and the food and all the various ways in which people contribute that doesn't reflect necessarily just one aspect of their identity or station or position at that moment. I have had so much fun going through and making some little stocking stuffer purchases myself on the One Journey site. Hope my family likes it. Thank you. Thank you both for being available. That was Wendy Chan of Northern Virginia and Yogi Metapalli of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They are both volunteer leaders with the One Journey nonprofit organization that can be found at onejourney.org. We are closing this week's episode with music from a performance by Abraham Mwinda. He's Congolese-born, Kenyan-raised singer, songwriter, and rapper from Lexington, Kentucky, who now lives in San Diego, California. One Journey hosted a virtual concert for Abraham, connecting him to a new audience of supporters.
They say east or west, home is best, but where is home? Is it the place that embraced me, the place that raised me, or the place where I was born? So where is home? Where is home? My whole life I had to answer the question, where are you from? Hey, you look kind of different and you kind of talk funny. You must be far from home. So where is home? Where is home?
That's all for this week's episode. A special thanks to our founder, Maureen Fiedler, MC Yogi for our theme music, and to our listeners who make this program possible because of your generosity. And if you'd like to learn how to support Interfaith Voices, please visit interfaithradio.org, where you can sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, and learn more about us. This week's producers include Kevin McCarthy and Kimberly Winston. I'm your host and executive producer, Umbreen Khan. Stay safe, stay connected, and we'll see you next week.